It's the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza.
5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome in to the Clay Millen Show once again. Wow, only a few more of these programs left with Clay. And we've really loved learning more about the Rams starting quarterback and just talking football with him throughout this process. Clay, my man, oh man, what a game. This one had a little bit of everything going up against San Jose State. Couldn't close this thing out in the end, and we'll talk about the final sequences or so. But first off, Clay, my man, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good right now. Yep,
sir. All right. So obviously a rough way for you to come out of that game. You're scrambling, trying to make a play. Your offensive lineman runs into you. You could see him just, he felt terrible. He's putting his hand on his helmet, just, oh, it's just awful. But, I mean, sometimes that kind of stuff happens. You guys are running all over the place trying to make something happen.
For sure, yeah. He's, you know, obviously trying to make a block for me. I mean, obviously he's not trying to run into me or anything. So, you know, it's not his fault, and obviously I was making sure that he was doing good and doing okay, and obviously, you know, he felt bad, but at the end of the day, he's just trying to do his job. You know, just one of those things where it was a scramble, it's kind of a fluky play, and it just happened to run into me, but, you know, he's trying to do his job, so, you know, there's nothing that he was doing there that was wrong, obviously, so he was just trying to make a play for me, and that's all I can ask for him.
Yeah, well, no question about it. Unfortunately, it puts you out of the game. Jackson Stratton comes in, tosses it up. We see Torrey Horton come up with something crazy in that one. And this was very interesting, Clay. But let's go back. You know, again, you guys end up losing this one 28-16. But there's about, what, 9 minutes, 8 minutes or so. You guys are down two scores, fourth and goal. Decided to go for it instead of kick the field goal. Can you talk to us kind of about Coach Norvell and the decision-making there? Obviously, to me, I kind of felt, Clay, I was like, maybe this does feel like four down territory. So me sitting down on my couch, I'm going back and forth in my own brain. But what was that decision like for you guys? Was there any decision, or did you know you were going to go for it all along?
Yeah, I think it was definitely the right decision. You know, you're down by 11, you just have a really good drive, and you go all the way down there, and you're down by 11 points right there. So I think it's obviously really important to score. I mean, you know, we want to get a touchdown right there. I mean, if you end up not getting a touchdown, too, you know, you put them on their own, what, 2 or 3 own yard line. So it was like, from an offensive perspective, it's like, hey, we got to score a touchdown here. It wasn't like we were on their 30 or their 20. We were inside their 5, and we were down by 11, you know, in the fourth quarter. And it was kind of a decision where, you know, we needed to go for it. You know, we felt like we obviously had to get it there, and obviously it was disappointing not to get it, but, you know, it was the right decision to go for it. It was something that we needed to execute better and find a way to punch it in, you know.
Well, Clay, it felt like between the 20s, you guys were moving this ball. I started thinking, man, we're starting to see some of these samples, more and more glimpses of four air raid. And then, of course, the red zone was kind of the issue for you guys this time around. Right. Do you take that, though, as more of a positive? Because you can say, hey, we were moving the ball maybe better than we have in an entire game collectively. That might be the best one we've seen as far as moving the football. Now you just got to clean up those red zone issues.
For sure, yeah. I think, I mean, obviously disappointing to lose. I mean, anytime you walk away from that game, you know, from an offensive perspective, you know, you only score 16 points again, you know. It's obviously disappointing in that area. But, I mean, you kind of look in between the 20s, I think that's where we kind of talked about how, you know, we played really good football between the 20s. And that was obviously, you know, we moved the ball. We had a lot of explosive plays. We had a lot more explosive plays that we've had both in passing and rushing that we've had all season this game. I think we had, you know, where we count explosive plays, I think we had 17 in total. So there's a lot of good stuff on offense and going, you know, backed up to their 20, obviously. But, I mean, like I said, you know, the obvious red zone struggles is where we, you know, we have to finish. And to win games, you know, we just look at that and it's like, you know, we did our job getting down inside the 20, and it's just like from – the 20 in, we just have to be a lot better, and we have to execute. And it's just disappointing to kind of look at the game and look at the numbers too, and see how many more yards we had than them. And we just felt like this was a game that we could have won, and you know, we just execute down there, and we feel like we definitely win that game. So that's just tough to kind of walk away from that one.
No question. I mean, and you guys start out with a bang, too. I loved that first sequence or so, I think it was. You're rolling. You hit an out route to Torrey Horton, get things going, and then Avery Morrow breaks one open. I love that complimentary style of offense there where, okay, we got Morrow tearing it up again. You had one of your better games with over 260 yards passing. And that's fun to see when you can get it all kind of working like that. And I go back, Clay, to a couple weeks ago, several weeks ago, where there was a time, you know, where it felt like, man, snap the ball, and there's the defensive line. They're already in your lap. That I feel like every single week that has just gotten a little bit better, there's more time for these plays to develop.
For sure, yeah. I think we, you know, the offensive line is doing a good job. I mean, I think we had a couple guys, you know, get banged up a little bit at the end of the game, but they should be good to go and everything. But, yeah, I think that offensive line's doing a good job, and, you know, we were able to run the ball, and so that was definitely a plus for us, and so that was encouraging to see.
Well, and you're right. That offensive line, we've talked. You know, you've got their back. You've said it several times on this program. But the thing is, every single week it does seem like they're getting a little bit better. There's more opportunity for a play design to kind of come to fruition where there's a real opportunity to try to get something done. And I think we're seeing that more and more. Is it fair to say, Clay, that again, red zone? I know that's the next point of emphasis for you. But fair to say that I think everybody's starting to take hold of this for air raid idea.
Yeah, for sure. I think we've got a lot of young guys out there, obviously. I think we have, most of the time, we have three true freshmen out at wide receiver, and obviously we have Torrey too, he's got a lot of years of eligibility left too, and he's just going to continue to improve too. You know, he's not even a finished product, you know, even the way he's playing. It's kind of crazy to think about that he's not a senior, he's not a last year kind of guy. He's a guy that's got multiple years. I think he's got 2 years left after this year. So he's a guy that's going to keep on improving, obviously, like the rest of the young guys. So it's just really encouraging to see, you know, we got a bunch of true freshmen out there, and they're making plays for me, and it's just really exciting to see those guys, you know, Justice going and making fades, winning his one-on-ones. You know, he's a guy that I feel confident. You know, I see Torrey and Justice on the outside. I feel like either of those guys can go win a one-on-one ball. And so I got a lot of confidence in them. I think, you know, each week they continue to improve, and it's just really exciting to see, you know, how many – if you look at our field, you know, how many young guys and just true freshmen, you know, redshirt freshmen that are out there. It's kind of crazy to think about the number of underclassmen we have that are playing. And so I think that's just really exciting that people can see, you know, it's like, you know, when you just think about it, you know, there's a lot of teams we're playing against where there's guys that are 4 and 5 years older than all of us. And like I said, like those guys are going to be gone. And I think that those older guys will, but it's with us, it's just like we're going to keep on improving. And, you know, a lot of us, we have a lot of years of eligibility left, and it's like, you know, each week, each year, obviously, for the future, we're going to keep on getting better. So I think I'm really encouraged with what I'm seeing for wide receivers.
Yeah, that chemistry between you and Torrey, obviously, we've been seeing that off and on throughout the beginning, from the beginning of the season, but this one was beautiful. I mean, 9 receptions, almost crossed over that 200-yard mark. He had a touchdown in this one. Torrey just continues to put up monster numbers, but you're right, I liked that connection as well with you and Justice Ross Simmons. He had 3 receptions for 84 yards and some big catches there on one of those final drives for you too.
For sure, yeah. I think that you know, I continue to grow with confidence with those guys. Those guys are understanding it. They're getting better each week. I think that when you have young guys, it's easier for them to have their progress gets a lot steeper than some of the older guys that are playing. You know, when you're an older guy, you're kind of more plateauing and you kind of almost hit your peak of where your performance is at. But with those guys, you know, it's a straight curve with their improvement each week. So I'm just really excited about them, you know. I love those guys, and, you know, I wouldn't want anyone else to, you know, develop with. And I think that there's a lot of exciting stuff that I think that we can do. I mean, obviously, you know, we got to score more points, and I think there's been a lot of discouraging stuff this season, not scoring. But I think that, you know, you kind of look at it, there's a lot of young players out there, and I think that's definitely something that people can look at and be like, hey, you know, once these guys continue to improve, get another year, get older, you know, this thing's going to hit. So I really believe in that.
Is that kind of the message right now, Clay? Because, again, I'm watching the San Jose State game, and there's part of me just going, man, they're close. You know, there's this, there's that. They're going to get this fixed up. That's going to be a big thing. Is that kind of Jay Norvell's message to you guys right now, or what is it?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I wouldn't say there's like a message that he would say in the aspect we've been given, but I think that it's clear that – I think that the staff believes that, you know, that we're really close. And I think that, you know, you're just playing so many young guys. You know, there's no other team in our conference that's playing this many young guys on offense. And it's like, you know, once we continue to improve and, you know, some of the older guys, like I said, you know, a lot of those teams we've been playing, a lot of those guys are going to be leaving after this year. And then all of a sudden, you know, with each year, you know, each game, you know, all of a sudden you're starting to be the team where you're the middle of the pack now with age. And then the next year you're the older guys. And then by the time you're all seniors, it's like you've been playing for 4 years and now you're the oldest guys. And it's like you're playing against a bunch of dudes that are younger than you. So I think that, you know, just each week and obviously going into next season too, I think that, you know, we're going to be, our improvement is going to be a steep upcline. And I think that there's just a lot of encouragement to see from so many young players that they're able to play at this level and kind of, you know, just go out there and compete and play well. So I think that, you know, obviously, like I said, there's disappointing stuff that you've seen this season. And obviously there's probably been a lot of tough times that the fans have had to watch. But I think that, you know, when you just keep that into account and just think about some of the progress that, you know, you make when you're a young guy and, you know, just kind of looking at Nevada too, I think then, you know, when Carson, Romeo and Cole were all playing as, you know, redshirt freshmen and sophomores, or true sophomores with Romeo, I think that, you know, they didn't really have that air raid glimpse until, you know, the third year. And that was really when it hit. And I was like, okay, those guys are the older guys now. And, you know, they can really tear it up. So I think that's just something that we can continue to see. And obviously we got to keep improving. And that's just what we're focused on.
Well, and again, I looked at this matchup, San Jose State, you know, they have big goals on their mind, Clay. I mean, they came into this one at 3-1 in the conference, right behind Fresno State. It was, if they wanted to finish at the top of the Mountain West, they had to win that game. So that was a must-win game for them. They were favored by 24.5 points. And again, this doesn't mean anything to you, but you guys hung in there, covered that 24. But again, there were so many positives from the offensive side, and then the defense still coming up with some big plays too. So I think that there were a lot of Rams fans that maybe went in thinking, uh-oh, this could be a really lopsided game. It was actually a very good game, a very entertaining football game, and that's where I'm saying I'm seeing those strides.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, like I said, obviously, I'll keep reiterating it. Obviously, it's not the result we want. Any team we play against, obviously, we want to go come out with a victory at the end of the day. But I think that there were some flashes where, obviously, we showed some good football. But, I mean, you know, we just got to keep improving in the areas that, you know, we're struggling at. Obviously, like I said, the red zone, we just have to find a way to score down there. You know, that's the difference between winning and losing. You know, you have four red zone trips and you only get 3 points. It's like, you know, you can't have that. You can't win football games that way. Because I think going down to their 20, I think that we did everything that we should to win a football game. And, you know, we just didn't execute. But I think at the same time, I think that we showed some glimpses of being a good football team. We just have to find a way to execute down in the red zone. And that's the difference in the game.
All right, Clay. A question for you before we get to getting to know Clay. We had a texter chiming in. Can Clay shed some light on the too many men in the backfield penalties? I'm no official, but I couldn't really see it. Kind of an odd penalty to have called so frequently.
Yeah, I think that we didn't really talk about it after, but at the time, you know, even my dad said it too from the TV. You know, it looked, I'm pretty dang sure that we were in the right formation. I think we were fine. You know, I don't really know what the issue was there. I think that maybe they might have thought from the refs, because we have our tackles standing up, they might have looked, it might have been of a peer that our tackles are further back, maybe off the ball, because, you know, they're not in that 3-point stance, so it kind of naturally makes it look like they're further back than they are. So I think that might have been the issue. But I mean, honestly, just watching on film, it looked like, to me, it looked like a totally legal formation. And you know, I don't really know what to say for that one.
No, I hear you. I think most Rams fans would probably agree with you. Clay, we'll take a short break. We got to get to getting to know Clay coming up, presented by Ent Credit Union. Busy, busy week coming up, and we'll talk about that border war coming up against the Wyoming Cowboys for an opportunity to win that bronze boot. Sonny Lubick talked to you guys as well, so we'll have you kind of talk to us about what that was like and so much more. It's the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Fishing season never ends. Tune in to the Hook'em Bait and Tackle Power Hour. Saturdays at 7 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the Clay Millen Show. We do this each and every Monday during the college football season. Ent Credit Union brings us Getting to Know Clay Millen. Ent is Colorado's largest credit union. It was named the number one credit union in Colorado by Forbes with 50 service centers along the Front Range. Finding an Ent is easy. Clay, a lot of questions just really coming in about Sonny Lubick. Kind of talk. Kevin Lytle tweeted out that Sonny Lubick talked to you guys today about the border war, the history of it and everything. So let's just get right to it. Questions coming in. Hey, Clay, what was that like for you to hear from a Rams great?
Yeah, it was super cool. It was super cool for him to come in. And, you know, I actually met him, I think, a couple weeks ago at a dinner where I was able to talk to him. And it was really cool just to see a guy that, you know, is, you always kind of hear about his name and you kind of see the statue of him. And, you know, you just hear about a guy that's done so many great things in the program. And just to have him come in and talk to us before, obviously, a big game this week, it really, you know, gave a lot of life and energy in for our team. And just hearing him talk and, you know, listen to his stories and obviously – you know, really inspired us, and so it was just great to hear him talk, obviously, and so it was awesome to have him in the facility today and just get to see him and listen from him, so that was great for the team to hear.
Clay, another texter here from the 970 just says, you know, what does the rivalry mean to you? Obviously, you know, this is your first year with Colorado State, so this is your first opportunity to play the Wyoming as a CSU Ram, so they just kind of want to know, what does that mean to a freshman quarterback?
For sure, yeah. I think that, you know, just not being here, not having been here, you know, you kind of don't really know as much about the rivalry when you first come in because you haven't played in the game before. But, you know, just talking to some of my teammates, you know, like guys like Henry, you know, they just kind of tell you, you know, he told me, you know, how important it is. And obviously just winning this game alone, you know, it can really just shift the vibe around the, you know, how people are looking at our team and just the way the season's gone just by winning one game. I think that, you know, this is the biggest one of the year right now. It's obviously a huge game, and this one means a lot, not just to the football teams, but it obviously means a lot to the school, and I think that it means a lot to Fort Collins. So I think that this one, you know, just talking to some of my teammates, I think that, you know, I've definitely learned now how important this game is, and you know, we're all fired up to go win this game, and just talking with my teammates, you know, we're excited for this one, and we're all fired up, so this is a must-win for us, and we really need to have this one for our season. I think that, you know, you win this game, it's a lot of different vibe, you know, around the town and just the way things have gone. I think that, you know, you win this one, it'll be huge for the city.
If you guys want to text Clay any questions, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. I mean, Clay, just from my experience with Rams fans, I mean, it could be a rough season, it could be whatever, but find a way to win these rivalry games, the Wyomings, the Air Forces. I mean, a lot can be covered up. A lot can be forgiven, especially this year. Wyoming has high expectations, wanting to try to stay in the thick of things in this Mountain West mountain race. Wouldn't that be something for you guys not only to take home that take back that bronze boot, but to play spoiler against the Cowboys?
For sure, yeah. I think this is definitely, you know, it's a rival game. It's really important. You know, it really comes down to who wants it more. I mean, obviously, you know, they've had a pretty good season so far, so they're going to be favored. But, you know, we don't really care about that. You know, it's about winning this game. I mean, this team needs it. We've gone through so much, you know, all the stuff we've got to deal with. You know, this team deserves this kind of win, and we need to obviously go execute to get it done. But, you know, we're all set in Wyoming, and it's like all the stuff we've been through, you know, I think it's really brought us a lot closer. All the guys in the locker room, you know, just the stuff that's happened to us, you know, obviously the disappointing losses and just guys leaving, it's really left us, you know, a close group because we have so little guys left, and I think that we just owe it to each other to go play our best and trust each other, you know, and do our jobs to go try and get this one because it's such a big game.
Yeah, we have the Clay Millen Show here, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. It's Getting to Know Clay, presented by Ent Credit Union. This must be a local, somewhat person that followed Tanner Arkin in their high school days. Clay, what's your relationship like with tight end Tanner Arkin, and do you see him being a bigger part of this offense as you go through this season and into next season?
For sure, yeah. He's a super cool guy. I know he's one of the guys that's my age, and so I got to meet him a little bit earlier than I met some of my other teammates. So he's just a really cool guy. You know, he's got a good vibe to him, and I think everyone on the team really likes him. And you know, his play that he made, you know, on Saturday, you know, on third and long was huge for us. You know, obviously, just seeing that he can go and be physical and make that catch was huge for us. So I'm really excited about Tanner. You know, he's another guy that's young, a redshirt freshman. He's got a lot of years left, and it's just physicality, you know, blocking and being a big target that, you know, he's tough to take down because he's so strong. And he's just a great guy on and off the field. So I'm really excited about him, and I'm happy to be teammates with him.
Yeah, maybe another big piece, as you were talking about, Torrey Horton and Justice Ross Simmons, too, and their production. Just another guy there. A texter coming in with just about Avery Morrow on that side of things from the 303. Are you shocked at all by his performances? What, Clay, he's what? Four out of the last five games he's had over 100 yards, something like that. 17 carries for 124 yards and a touchdown in this one. The guy is getting some production in.
Yeah, he is.
Are you shocked by this at all? Like, did you all, I know we talked a little bit about it last week, but every single week, and I know he was banged up a little last week, but bam, he comes in again and another 100-plus yard game.
Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously when he first kind of started doing it, you know, he was kind of a backup all spring and all fall camp, so you didn't really think at that time that Avery was going to be the guy that was, you know, was carrying the load in the run game. So I would definitely say, you know, because of what he's kind of been through, you know, there was a time where it was, you know, kind of up in the air if he was second or third string, you know, it was a little bit of that, you know, he wasn't getting a lot of carries to start the season. And then, you know, what was it, the Nevada game, you know, he just kind of took off. And so I think that everyone was probably a little bit surprised, you know, at how much he was doing. I mean, obviously, I always saw the talent, but just to see it, you know, quickly translate to a game after, you know, all the stuff that he's been through. You know, he was never really the front runner to be the starting running back at the beginning of the season and in fall camp too. So at first, it was a little surprising just to see how quickly he went from being kind of a backup player and where he probably thought of himself as being a role player for the season, and I think some of the other guys did too. With, you know, him not getting enough carries, but then, you know, and also in practice too, you know, there's a lot of times where, you know, you're not always hitting, you know, you're not always doing live contact. So it's a lot of the times you're just in sweatpants or shorts, so you can't always see that contact, or, you know, how the running back would actually be once the game starts. And obviously we have scrimmages and days where we're full pads, but, you know, there's kind of a limited amount of that, I'd say. So once he started taking off, you know, at this point, there's no surprise. You know, he's just a great player. He's just a great back to have. You know, he never goes down on first contact. So I'm just super excited about him to have him. And, you know, he's another guy that's one of the younger guys on our team. So just having him with so many years of eligibility left is great to have.
Yeah, you're right. He refuses to go down after that first hit. I mean, I've never seen him be taken down, at least last couple of games. Somebody hits him, I'm not shocked at all when I see him fall forward for 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Clay, we'll take a break here. We'll wrap up your portion of the show on the other side. Let's start looking ahead at Wyoming. They pride themselves on tough defense and a tough run game. We'll take a glimpse into the Wyoming Cowboys coming up next. It's the Clay Millen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear from the coaches and the players this fall on Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 38 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, we're sitting down with Clay Millen. It's the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. The Rams, with 3 games remaining on the season, looking to make something of this season. You know, Novembers have been traditionally pretty rough for Colorado State the last few years. You can change that. Obviously, a battle against San Jose State, but you got Wyoming coming up, Air Force, New Mexico. And, Clay, when you look at this Wyoming team, obviously, they've had a surprising season. You know, they started the season, they lost to Illinois 38-6. Obviously, Illinois, pretty good football team. Outside of that, the Cowboys have been a pretty good team. They pride themselves on running the football and playing solid defense. That's kind of wash, rinse, repeat for Wyoming every single year. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, for sure. I think they're a good football team. I think, you know, I've got some respect for, you know, the guys on the team, but, you know, they're doing a good job. They're winning games, and so, like I said, obviously it's a rivalry week, so I think they'll be all fired up on defense to obviously come out, hit hard, and execute. So we just got to obviously bring that energy too. Like I said, we're both fired up, and we're excited to play them. So I think that they're a good defense, and I think that, you know, this is a good challenge for us. We've just got to go out there and execute, do our jobs at every position, and I think that, you know, we can do some good stuff. We just stick to that.
Does this kind of excite you getting into this week? You know, the rivalry portion of it, the border war, all the stuff, the ceremonial stuff that goes with it. Like, does that excite you? And obviously, you're going to experience it firsthand these next few days and such. But are you looking forward to that aspect of this game?
For sure, yeah. I think that we've gone through some tough losses this season. I think that, you know, obviously if you win games like this, it really just kind of changes the vibe around, you know, just the town and everything about how our season's gone. You know, this is a great opportunity for us. You know, you go win a game like this, it really just really excites the fans and obviously puts a great vibe in your locker room when everyone's really happy. So I think this is just a great opportunity for us because we've obviously we want to win this game. We're prepared for it. And I think that, you know, even though, you know, our record doesn't really show it, I think that we're an improving football team. I think that we've played two really good opponents the past 2 weeks, obviously Boise and then San Jose, who's kind of one of the front runners in this conference too. And I think that, you know, we're going to go give them our best shot. And so we're all fired up for this game. And I think that, you know, just from our perspective, you win this game, it really kind of changes the season around. So, you know, and that season that's gone, A lot of things haven't gone our way, so we just want to go win this one, and that's really important for us.
No question. I mean, this is a fierce rivalry. Clay, I'm not kidding you, man. I've asked questions over the years. I've asked fans, like, would you rather beat Wyoming and have a losing season or have a winning season and lose to Wyoming? And you'd be surprised. People are like, yeah. I don't care what happens. I just want to beat Wyoming. That is what I live for. This rivalry is intense.
For sure. Yeah, for sure, yeah. That, you know, we need to win this one. This one, we put a lot of work in. You know, we need to go out there. We need to execute. And all the players in the locker room, you know, we all know how important this is now. We've talked about it today, you know, how big this game is. And, you know, we need to go play our best game, and we need to go win this one.
Well, and if you look back, obviously the Rams won back in 2020. They did get the boot then. Wyoming overtakes that last season. But, you know, 2020 was a weird year. We all kind of know that was a strange thing. But outside of that year, this Wyoming has run this rivalry going back to 2016. So this is something where Rams fans, they want to see this broken up here, and they want to see some green and gold start to take over this competition.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, you know, this is a good football team too. You know, this is a team that we're going to have to go play well against. You know, this isn't a team with a losing record. They're one of the best teams or better teams in our conference, obviously, with their record. So this is a game we've really got to prepare really hard for. We've got to get in film and do everything we can to get ready to play this game because we know how important it is. And obviously the players know how important it is to them and how important this is for the community. So we've just got to go in there and do everything we can this week leading up to Saturday to go prepare to play our best football game.
I'm really looking forward to this one, Clay. Three games remaining, and like I said, I feel like this offense is looking better each and every week. San Jose State, that was a huge contest, and I thought there were so many opportunities there. You were right there, so we'll see what happens against Wyoming. The CSU basketball team, we got CSU basketball in action tonight too, so should be a lot of fun. This is a crossover time of year, so it's craziness there at Colorado State.
Yeah. For sure. Awesome. I know they had a great year last year, so I'm excited to see what they can do this year.
All right, my man. Clay, we'll catch up next week. Appreciate you jumping on as always. You take care of yourself, get to feeling better, and we'll look out for you guys this weekend against Wyoming.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, man. All right, the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. That's, hey, listen, dude, it's tough. It's tough to get up here every single week and talk about, especially at his age. I mean, you see the NFL, these players and coaches commit to it. They got to do it. You see college coaches commit to it. They got to do it. But you got Clay committing to it every single week, and he does it with a lot of positivity, looking forward, talking up his teammates and everything. So we love that aspect of these NIL things that we do, allowing these players to have a radio show, a voice to come on and talk about these games. So we'll look forward to it. Border war, though, has not been kind to Colorado State. You go back 2016, Wyoming takes the boot back after 3 years in a row of losing. Then they win it in 17 in a close game. They win it in 2018, 34-21. They won it in 2019. That was Mike Bobo's final year, 17-7. And then Steve Adazio comes in. His first season was 2020. They only had a handful of games, but they won that. That was one of their games. I think they were 1-4. And that was the win. And I could be wrong on that, but I believe that was the win. They won 34-24. And then last year, Adazio's second year, his first full year, they lost the boot, and they lost by a score of 31-17. So rivalry has not been good. Bobo was not good in these rivalry games, if you go back to it. That was his big thing. I think early on, he won a couple his first year, and then after that, couldn't do it. Couldn't beat the Air Forces, couldn't beat the Wyomings, couldn't beat the Buffs. That was still when the Rocky Mountain Showdown was going on. Couldn't do that. And that's a big deal. I'm serious, Angel. A year or two ago, I asked the poll question. Would you rather beat Wyoming and have a losing season or have a winning season but lose to Wyoming? And a lot of people were like, I'd rather beat Wyoming and have a losing season.
No, these rivalry games always tend to bring out the best in both programs and the fans and just all the excitement for it. I saw somewhere Barstool CSU said that Wyoming is planning a gold out of Canvas Stadium.
Ooh.
They're asking CSU fans to show up to Canvas Stadium. Don't let them gold out your home crowd. So that'll be fun. That's exciting.
But see, that's awesome.
Right.
I want that. So Wyoming's saying, hey, we want to gold out. We're going to go there. We're going to show our pride. And then CSU counters that by saying, we can't let this crap happen.
I think they said whiteout too.
So you have
so
the
possible CSU whiteout
Let's
game.
Let's go. That's what you want. Let's get this thing going. I think I'm going to that game. I think I'm going Saturday.
Oh, that's the good luck charm.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I think if I pick CSU to lose, it's good luck for CSU. But I'm trying to cover Wyoming a little bit more, too. I'm more of a CSU guy. Yes. Yes, I'm more of a CSU fan. I've been a CSU fan since I was in diapers. So I'm excited for this game coming up. My wife is a CSU grad as well. So, got her, you know, she hates Wyoming. A lot of her family's from Wyoming.
Really?
But she hates them. The family, they get along. No, it's good. It's good. When it comes to this game, though, things change. I love that, though. Fill Canvas up.
Outside of, you know, the Rocky Mountain Showdown, this is the only rivalry game that we can kind of get here.
Yeah, who's UNC's rivalry?
Football team. Themselves.
Themselves.
Probably.
Yeah. Lights. That's a rivalry for UNC football. Because they can't play.
You're supposed to get those, right?
Can't play at night, so lights kill them. Who's CU's biggest rivalry?
CSU, when they're playing.
Yeah, because really in the Pac-12, they don't. Who's their rivalry?
I mean, I can only think Nebraska, but that's another conference.
And that's gone now. So, like, who do you hate, CU fans? You don't hate Oregon. You don't hate any of those teams. Washington? Wyoming hates CSU. Air Force hates CSU. CSU hates Air Force. Yeah, that's the rivalries. I mean, it's really the Mountain West, because the rest doesn't matter. It's CSU, Air Force, and Wyoming. And really, it's CSU, Wyoming.
Yep. Embrace it.
Embrace it.
Yeah, when you have your own trophy to play for,
yeah,
that's cool.
Oh, yeah. I love this game. And this is what I'm saying. I want them both to be good.
And then let it carry over into basketball.
You want them both to be good so that when they go against it. Dude, I was at that CSU, Wyoming basketball game last year at Moby. Oh, my gosh. So much fun. CSU wins that game. David Roddy misses a free throw and screws everybody over on the cover. Whatever. I'm not bitter by it. It's fine. I don't remember it at all. It's not like we lost money on it. But that was a crazy game. That was a crazy game. I loved it. 48 minutes after the hour. We'll have Border War talk all week. Maybe we can get Sonny Lubick on the program. Wouldn't that be fun? I might have his contact information, so we'll see what we can do. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. What's on the tube tonight? Everything. And closing thoughts as well. We'll be right back.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and Their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's a basketball kind of night, isn't it? Here's what's on the tube. Air Force is taking on Bowling Green at 5 o'clock on ESPN3. The UNC Bears will be at Houston tonight, number 3 ranked Houston, 5:30, the Blue and Gold pregame show with Jerry Schimmel here on 103.1, 1310 and 1310kfka.com. Tip-off is at 6 o'clock. CU taking on UC Riverside at 6:30 Mountain Time. CSU will be hosting Gardner-Webb at, what time is that? 7 o'clock for them as well. And then Wyoming going up against Colorado Christian at 7 o'clock. And then Denver is at San Antonio, 7:30 on Altitude Network, probably. And then a bunch of other stuff. Oh, and Monday Night Football. Ravens Saints. You watching football? You watching college basketball tonight.
We also missed that the Astros won the World Series over the weekend.
The Astros won. That was going to be tomorrow's show, typically, with Clay. We have one giant chunk of our show dedicated to CSU. But I knew once they won Game 5, it was over. You couldn't beat them twice in Houston. It wasn't going to happen. So, yeah, busy night tonight. What are you watching?
Tuning in to some UNC Bears basketball. I'll be listening to Jerry on the call tonight. And then I'll flip over to some Nuggets, try to get a third straight win.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Jerry Schimmel on the call tonight, 5:30, the pregame show, UNC at Houston. Good night, Northern Colorado.